Can we please say silent prayer to prepare our hearts? Amen. In the name of Jesus, we shall commence with our Friday night service. Let us sing hymn 67. 67. Give all praise, all thanks, all glory to our Lord Jesus. We shall hand tonight's service into the hands of our Lord. We shall together in the name of Jesus, we kneel down to pray. In the name of Jesus, we will kneel down to pray.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Are you sure you're
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. This evening, we would like to discuss on this topic, fellowship with brethren. Fellowship with brethren. How is fellowship possible? Fellowship is possible through our Lord Jesus, our Lord God. Let us see 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship. So this upper part of verse 9 tells us God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship. So today, how is this fellowship possible? It is because of our Lord God, our Lord God. We were called into fellowship, So this fellowship or communion is possible because through our Lord God. That is to say, through our Lord Jesus Christ, it is possible. Man, initially, we are strangers. We are alien. There's no communion or fellowship with God. And then man and man relationship or fellowship can be strained. So, fellowship is possible through Christ. So, it was Christ who destroyed this wall between man and God and man and man. Our Lord God, our Lord Jesus, through his sacrifice, he has drawn us all near. So, today, fellowship communion is possible through Christ. And today, what type of fellowship do we have? So we will have fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. Like here say, God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So the first fellowship is that fellowship with God. This we have already discussed the previous session. We have discussed fellowship with God. So we will have fellowship with Christ, with the Lord. But today, we will discuss fellowship with brethren. So, beside fellowship with God, we should also have fellowship with brethren. Let's just recall what we discussed just now, or today, fellowship. So fellowship is made possible through our Lord God. And today, through our Lord God, He draw us all near. So today we can have, and we should have fellowship with God. And then we should have also fellowship with brethren. With brethren. Now let us discuss what is this fellowship. So we should have fellowship with brethren, with the brethren. Let us see 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Let us see verse 3. 1 John chapter 1 verse 3. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, with His Son, Jesus Christ. So, we have been called into fellowship, to have fellowship with God. But then here, there's also fellowship with the brethren. So that you too may have fellowship with us. Fellowship with us. Fellowship with the brethren. Let's see verse 7. Verse 7, the upper part. Verse 7, the upper part. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So, to have fellowship with one another, let us also see example, fellowship. Psalms 55. Psalm 55, verse 14. Psalms 55, let's see verse 14. So, here verse 14 says, we who had sweet fellowship or communion together walk in the house of God in the throne. So here they have fellowship together, fellowship with God. Walk in the house of God in throne, to have fellowship together with God. And then we who had sweet fellowship together. So brethren should have fellowship with one another. So today we should have fellowship with brethren. But just now we say, what is this definition of fellowship? What is fellowship? Let us see Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, let's see verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Let us see the verse 46. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 46. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possession and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. So here we can see the early church, the early members. Here we can see fellowship. So what is definition of fellowship? Fellowship consists of four things. Firstly, fellowship or communion means participation, must participate. So here, verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. So continually, fellowship must participate, must come and join, must come and attend, must participate. Then we can see your fellowship. If church have activity, we don't join, we don't attend, we don't participate, there's no fellowship, no communion. So, fellowship, the definition, firstly, it encompasses participate, must participate. And then, of course, when they come to participate, when they have fellowship, they communicate. Of course, they communicate with one another. So, like verse 44, all those who believe were together, And then, verse 46, day by day, continually with one mind, they also have fellowship, meals from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. So definitely, there is communication. So secondly, fellowship means must communicate, Otherwise, there will be no fellowship, there will be no communion. So must communicate. And then thirdly, it has to do with sharing. So verse 45, they begin selling their property and possession and were sharing them with all. So fellowship encompass to share, For example, to share what? To share material things. Those that have to share with those that don't have. Or when we have fellowship, we share together. Of course, sharing not only in physical sense, but also in spiritual. We share together. When we come together, we share together communion in worship, in singing, in prayer, in serving. Even in suffering, we share together one another burden. So sharing. And then it has got to do with common. When we participate, when we communicate, when we share. Fellowship communion means we come to something common. Like here, verse 44. All those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And then verse 46. Continuing with one mind. All this is made possible because through much fellowship, they come to something common. Fellowship means on this group, we have something in common. So this is the definition of fellowship. Fellowship means participate, communicate, sharing, and then common. We will come to something common. So this is fellowship. Therefore, today, we are encouraged to have fellowship with one another, fellowship with the brethren. So in church, we should attend, join, participate, come together more in fellowship activities. So must participate. And then when we come together, we should communicate more, and then to share, many things, physical, spiritual, sense. And then so that we ultimately can also come to something common. We have this one mind, come to common. Let's continue to discuss about fellowship. So we must have fellowship with brethren, Let's continue to discuss. During the first two centuries, the gospel was taken from place to place. That's to say, the early church, During the first two centuries, the gospel was taken from place to place by traveling evangelists or missionaries or teachers. They are Christian brethren. So they are called itinerant preachers. That's to say, there is a schedule, a program. So according to the itinerary, so there we go. There we go to the certain places. And then they will also bring the gospel everywhere. So the first two centuries, the gospel was taken from place to place by all these itinerant preachers. Customarily, believers took this missionary, all these teachers, all these brethren into their home and gave them provision for their journey. So they are to receive all these Christian brethren who went out for the sake of the Lord, the name of the Lord, the church. So Christian brethren are to receive them into their home, provide lodging, and then they can even provide companion. And then when they send them to provide transport, to also provide finance, etc., provision for their journey. So they provided hospitality and support. So this was the practice of the early church. By doing so, they are walking in truth. They are walking in love. So this type of fellowship with Christian brethren, itinerant preachers. Today, we should have fellowship with brethren, but we should also have fellowship with this type of Christian brethren. Such was the case with Gaius. Our focus now, we will discuss 3 John. Let's see 3 John. 3 John. 3 John. Just now we were speaking concerning fellowship with brethren. That is to say, to receive this type of Christian brethren, those itinerant missionaries, missionaries to have fellowship with them. So, these people, by doing like this, they are walking in truth, they are walking in love. They are having fellowship with the Christian brethren. So, such was Gaius. Let us see 3 John. 3 John, verses 1 to 8. 3 John, verses 1 to 8. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. So, he'll speak about Gaius. The elder, John, whom he loved in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all aspects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth. That is how you're walking in truth. So Gaius, he was walking in truth. Of course, truth of the gospel. Truth in faith, faithfulness to the truth. But he was also walking in truth, means to walk in love. Truth is walking in love. Truth is walking in the commandment of the Lord, the great commandment to love, love God and love man. So, verse 3, I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth. That is how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this to hear my children walking in truth. Verse 5, beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, especially when they are strangers. So all these strangers, they are the itinerant preachers being sent from the church. They are strangers, they do not know. But then, this Gaius, he walked in truth, he walked in love. So he had fellowship with these Christian brethren to receive, to give hospitality, to provide, to support all these workers. So John praise him. Verse 5, beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren. So he had this fellowship with these brethren, itinerant preachers. Verse 6, and they have testified to your love. So all these workers can even testify to the love of these Gaius. They have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. So all these people are sent out for the purpose of serving God. So to receive them, and then to send them away worthy of the Lord, to send them away to provide transport, to provide companion, to provide food, funds for their journey. So you do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name. So all these workers, they went out for the sake of the name, the Lord, to preach the gospel, to exhort the gospel, accepting nothing from Gentiles. So they serve God, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, the church is called upon to have fellowship with these brethren, to receive these brethren, itinerant workers. By doing this, verse 8, therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. So by walking in truth, walking in love, by receiving all these workers to have fellowship with that Christian brethren, all these itinerant workers, they are actually supporting these people. They become fellow workers with the truth. Fellow workers with the truth. So here we can see walking in truth, walking in love, to have fellowship with Christian brethren. So such was Gaius. Gaius did well. So there was this testimony, witness that he have done this work well. So he also become fellow workers with the truth. Who else? Who else? Demetrius. Let's see verse 12. Verse 12. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. And we add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. So another person who have done faithfully fellowship with this type of Christian brethren is Demetrius. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone. And from the truth itself, he practiced the truth, the gospel truth. But he also walked in love in receiving Christian brethren. and we add our testimony, John can also testify. And the church, you know that our testimony is true. But then, here, however, not everyone in the church feel the same way. Such was Diotrephes. Diotrephes, let's see verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbid those who desire to do so and put them out of the church. Diotrephes was different. He did not feel the same way. This Diotrephes, he disliked this Elder John. Elder John wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to be first, he felt threatened, maybe by John or by all these workers. In a way, he think that the church belongs to him. So he ruled like a dictator. He want to be first, preeminence. He felt threatened. So he does not accept John, even what John encouraged. So what he did, he even unjustly accused John with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, that is to say, he himself does not support or does not receive all these brethren. He does not have a fellowship with these Christian brethren. He himself does not receive the brethren either. And what he do, he even forbid those who desire to do so and then put them out of the church, throw them out of the church, those who want to do this work. So we can see here, this Diotrephes, he did not promote fellowship with these Christian brethren. Let's see verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil have not seen God. So here we can see, exhort to do the good, to do what is right. Do not imitate what is evil. Do not be like this Diotrephes. Do not want to have this type of Christian fellowship to receive, to give hospitality, to support all these Christian brethren who have come out to preach the gospel for the sake of the name of God. So he does not support. So verse 11, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. So we should learn from Gaius, we should learn from Demetrius to have fellowship with this type of Christian brethren. Imitate what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil have not seen God. So here we can see the exhortation to do good or to have fellowship with Christian brethren. Therefore then, today, besides having fellowship with our normal Christian brethren, we should have fellowship with all these Christian brethren, the workers of God, the workers of God. Now, let us further discuss Let us see 2 John. We must have fellowship with God. We must have fellowship with Christian brothers, especially all these itinerant workers. But then, let us see 2 John. 2 John, John wrote, let's see verse 1. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth. So John here wrote to the chosen lady. So here we can see, John wrote to the chosen lady and her children. Who is this chosen lady? The Greek word, the chosen, the lady is Syria, C-Y-R-I-A. So, there are some Bible scholars say, this Syria is actually the lady, the name of the lady, the elder to the chosen Syria. This is what the Greek text tells us, and her children. So, if we want to take it literal, yes, maybe John wrote to this lady, this sister Syria, and her children. But here, if we want to take it figuratively, figuratively. It can also refer, that is to say, the lady is the church, her children is the members. So no matter what John wrote to a sister or the church, same. That means it's spoken to us today. Let us see verses 1 to 6. Here we can see the lady or the church and the children walk in the truth. They practice the truth. They walk in the truth. They practice the truth. The elder to the chosen lady and the children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth. For the sake of the truth which abide in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of Father, in truth and love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. So, of course, we must walk in the truth of the gospel, the truth, faithful to what we believe. But then, what is walking in truth? Truth has to do with keeping commandments, that is to say, walk in love. That means the lady or the church and the children or members, so they walk in truth, they walk in love. Verse 4, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. So to walk in truth is walk in love. Verse 6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandment. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. So here we can see the lady, the church, and the children, the members, they were walking in truth. They are practicing the truth. But let's continue to see. Truth is to walk in love. Love is to walk in truth. Truth must be discerning. Love must be discerning. We must walk in love. To walk in love is to walk in truth. To walk in truth is to walk in love. But this love must be discerning. So here we can see, John wrote to the church. He forbid fellowship. He don't allow. He forbid fellowship with false brethren. With false brethren, false teachers. Let us see 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 verse 19. 1 John chapter 2 verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. So there was a group from the church. We will not discuss into theological detail. So at the time, there was this danger of this heresy, what they call incipient, the primitive form, incipient Gnostic heresy. Gnostic heresy. So at the time, some of the church members were affected. So they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been on earth, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. So there was a group who came out from the church. And then they also go everywhere, like just now, 3 John. They also go everywhere, like itinerant preachers. They also want to preach their gospel, so-called heresy. So this group of people, let's go back to 2 John. Let's go back to 2 John. Let us see verses 7 to 9. Verses 7 to 9. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Of course, here telling us the nature of the heresy at the time, incipient Gnosticism. They believe that spirit is good, matter is evil. Spirit is good, matter is evil. So how can God, spirit is good, come in the form of flesh that is evil? Therefore then, they do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. So they don't believe God, spirit is good, can incarnate into flesh, matter that is evil. So this was the heresy at the time. And then they also say how God temporarily came upon the man Jesus between his baptism and crucifixion. So the man Jesus in the water, God's Spirit come into him, so become Jesus Christ. And then during crucifixion, the Spirit of God Christ depart. So one who is crucified is what? Only a man. So Jesus during baptism, Jesus crucified is a man. It's not God incarnate into flesh. This is what they believe. So what 7 say? Many deceivers have gone out into the world of those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming the flesh. This is the deceiver and antichrist. Verse 8. Watch yourself that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. So, what happened to these people? So, these are the separatists, or they call the secessionists. They are the breakaway group. So, John wants to tell them, the church, that is, he forbid fellowship with false brethren, false teachers. John was writing to urge them to have discernment. Let's see verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 and 11. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participate in his evil deeds. So to avoid all these false teachers, he forbid fellowship with all these false brethren. No matter publicly or privately, they are not to receive them. Do not receive them into your house. We should not have fellowship with these brethren, the breakaway group, the separatists, the secessionists. And then, do not underestimate the power of influence and deception. A little leaven the whole lump. And then, the heresy, false teachings, false teachers. In 2 Timothy, Paul described as gangrene, as cancer. What they teach, all these people, what they teach can spread like cancer, just like gangrene. A little leaven the whole lump. So the church is called upon to walk in truth, to walk in love. But love must be discerning. So he forbid fellowship with this type of Christian brethren. And to here say, do not receive them into your house. And do not give greeting. This greeting, the custom, the culture, that is to say, I greet you, God be with you. So this is their custom practice. When they greet, God be with you. So are we going to greet these false teachers, God be with you? And then they greet, God bless you. So are we going to ask God to bless you? This breakaway group, these false brethren, and then, to send greeting, peace unto you. Are we going to greet like this to this false brethren? Peace unto you. So, what's 10 say? Do not give him a greeting. For the one who give him a greeting, participate in his evil deeds. So, love must be discerning. Love must be discerning. Here we can see to protect the truth. To protect the truth. Today, we should be very careful. We need to walk in truth, walk in love. But love must be discerning. Today, we should not have fellowship with false Christian brethren, those who teach false teachings. Let's do a summary. So today, we have been called into fellowship. This is possible through Jesus Christ. We must have fellowship with God. This is what 1 John tells us, to have fellowship with God. But then, we are to have fellowship with also our Christian brethren. So this is what 3 John wants to tell us. Besides just now what we discussed, what is the definition of fellowship? To participate, to communicate, to share common. Church members, we must have more fellowship. But then 3 John calls us to have fellowship with Christian brothers, brethren, those who have gone out as itinerant preachers, as workers for the name of God. And then in 2 John, John tells us do not have fellowship with false Christian brethren. With false Christian brethren. So today, we should have fellowship with Christian brethren. But then, today, do not have fellowship with false Christian brethren. We must walk in truth. Walk in truth is to walk in love. But then, love must be discerning. So may the Lord guide and lead us, so that we continue to have fellowship, fellowship. Let's sing hymn 126. 126. Give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's remember to pray for those who are sick, those who are weak. May the Lord continue to guide, lead, protect us in this time. We shall, in the name of Jesus, we will kneel down to pray.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Our Friday night service ends here. Peace be in the all. May the Lord bless. Amen.